I don't know where else to go.
Actually, I
retired in 1965.
Well, what did you do when you came down from Buffalo? You came down here and...
Well...
What were your jobs you had then?
Well, actually, I started out as assistant to... Candy Manufacturing, Director of Manufacturing. And what you do is go around to the plants, and I specifically tried very hard to keep up with their technical work on the plants. And what I tried to instill in them is they should be working all the time, and what is the next step this plant should take to make it a better plant, bigger plant, or more or a bigger producing plant. And so there were problems like that, and all the plants got, so they kept on working on plans to expand their own plant. And then if there are modifications in cellophane or mylar, those things like that, you got to keep an eye on how those things were developing. But it's not like doing it yourself, or not like being right next to it, because you're now talking to somebody who's then talking to somebody who's talking, and you're a long ways away from people who are doing the work, and you're only there for a short time. Now, it pays well. it's not, you don't get the same fun out of it you get out of research, but it's not nothing I had the guts to turn down.
But you really didn't enjoy managing people as much as you liked doing the actual...
That's right.
Doing the real work.
I like to work with the things.
Uh-huh.
You know, the problem, you can work with chemicals, and you find they'll do the same thing every time. You do it the same way. And,
with people, it doesn't work that way.
That's right. With people, it doesn't work that way. And I don't think I was really ever too good with people. I'm not a public speaker. I don't like public speaking. And I'm not happy doing it. And I don't do well. I don't know. And so I really was happier when I was in the laboratory, but there's no going back once you're down that road. I don't think you'll go back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Crothers, he was very insistent that he wanted to, but Crothers, there's one thing on Crothers' life that I haven't seen that I was a little surprised at, and that is Paul Furry. He lived at the same bachelor house I did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with Crothers, and he and Crothers developed, they both are crazy about fundamental research, and they developed this process of measuring the size of the distribution of the molecules and all that kind of stuff, and published papers, and Flory left and went various places, continuous work on polymers, and eventually got the had
the Nobel Prize.
Mm-hmm. Chemistry, which if Crothers had lived and published all those years, I don't know how many, have a strong feeling he could have got it.
Yes, probably.
Well, he might have, I don't know.
Well, they held off giving it to Staudinger for a long time.
They did, yeah. They did.
Polymers were always, I think, a little bit real chemists didn't always give polymers.
It's a little bit dirty because
yes.
You're looking for something practical.
Yes. So yeah. Staudinger didn't even get it until 1960, I think.
But nobody seems to refer much to Paul Fleury, and he must have done some good work because he did get the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
He's dead too, unfortunately.
So how did he find DuPont? You guys were living together?
No, he quit.
Yeah. But he was here for a couple of years.
No, or more than that, I guess. Maybe three or four.
Yeah, three or four.
And then he went up, he moved around several places, mm-hmm. ended up Stanford University.
Right.
And I casually kept track of him, but I'd see him occasionally at some meeting or something. And we lived in the same bachelor house, so we got to know each other quite well. He was a smart guy, but he didn't like Crothers put him on just before he died, I think. He put him on trying to do organic chemical work, you know, make polymers and do stuff like that. And that wasn't for his. He liked the theoretical book work, you know, what's the shape of them and how many and what does it look like. This matter of putting two things together and making something come out, he didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he left. He just didn't enjoy the film. And then I don't know for sure if he left before Crothers died. I think he left after. And see, Crothers' work, as Crothers looked at it, it was completely gone, except maybe Julian Hill kept some in, but as far as the people like George Graves, I don't know who Paul Fleury reported to after that. After he reported George Graves for a while, they couldn't get along together at all. And so
Graves was very practical minded.
Oh yeah. Oh very, yeah. Very. He was a good supervisor, but he was just the opposite kind. He was a fellow, you may see him 2-3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time we were going to try a new autoclave. The first, you know, that autoclave they built out there. We were going to make the first, and he came down. He says, "I think we ought to get that started." I says, "I already got it started." I started that morning because I thought it was time to start too. I guess I don't know why, but that's the kind of guy he was. He was Crothers. Wasn't a close supervisor. Graves was very. Actually, they offered me the job to go down to Seaford and I was technical superintendent, and he used to come down, you know, for periodic visits, about once every 2 weeks, and we reviewed for him all the work he'd been doing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to know him pretty well, and then of course he left. He went with this atomic energy thing.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And Wendy Hedger took it. Hedger took it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working for Wendy. Of course, when I went to Buffalo, then I was working for Carnes up there. George Carnes is the head of the cellophane research. But George went on a sabbatical or something. And, I said, what happened? They sent him to Europe when the war was over to find out what they could find out in Germany.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they just sent me to Buffalo. And the first thing that came up was a new budget for the next year. I had to get a budget together, And I came down and reviewed it with Artie Kunzman and whoever was head of the cellophane division at the time. But this fellow looked at it. It used to be that they did 90% of their work on cellophane, 10% on the yarn. Well, I came down with a program of doing about 40% on cellophane, 60% on him. He's got us, my God, we did. And so he got up and walked off. I said, Artie, I'm sorry. He said, don't be sorry, you're doing exactly right. So Artie, so I got a feeling they sent me up there
to do that.
To do that.
Right.
And I'm glad I was able to do it. But it's all the trouble with this kind of reporting. You can't do it without kind of sounding like you're bragging. And maybe it is. Maybe maybe other people saw it entirely differently than I did, you see, because I saw it from one point of view, and other people see it from some other point of view. But there, for example, in polyester film, as far as I know, there has never been a bonus given for the development of polyester film. Now, there's a bonus given from now on, but there's never one for polyester film. And I guess it's just too much trouble to get it. It must have been a hell of a job to do it for nylon, and probably too much trouble to do it for polyester film. And maybe it wasn't enough new developments, but it was just an interesting byline, which I hope you won't publish.
No, we can leave that off if you want to.